Joining me first is the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Sir, welcome back to Lindell TV. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
And it was great to meet you in person at the Trump rally just north of Houston the other night.
No, that was a great rally. I don't know how many people were there. I didn't count them all. It looked like about 70, 80,000. I thought it was amazing. The weather was great. We were very fortunate because it was outside, and you never know what's going to happen in January.
Well, you don't, and I don't think the weather this weekend is going to be that nice there. So we hit the right weekend.
We definitely did. It's actually snowing and sleeting today.
Oh, my. Okay, so you think there was, I heard as many as 85,000. So you're hearing 75 as 80,000 as well.
Yeah, I heard, it looked like that kind of crowd. I was in Arizona a couple weeks before, and it was about 60, 65. This looked like a bigger crowd. It's, you know, I didn't count everybody, so I don't know for sure, but it took hours to get in and hours to get out.
Absolutely, it did. Well, we wanted to have you back, and thank you for coming back, because our audience, as you know, they really like action points. They like to be put into service, and we've been really tracking what's going on in your state. It's one of the states that many people are fleeing to. They're fleeing to my home state here of Tennessee. They're fleeing to your great state of Texas because of the liberty and the freedom being offered, and we want to maintain that liberty and freedom, obviously, in these states, Texas being one of them, and we are greatly concerned about the Court of Criminal Appeals taking away your right and your liberty that's been around for years and years as Attorney General to investigate voter fraud. Before we talk about the border and some of those issues, where are we at with this Court of Criminal Appeals and taking away your power to investigate voter fraud?
Yeah, thanks for asking. We're unusual in Texas. We have a bifurcated court system. We have civil that goes to the Supreme Court of Texas, Texas Supreme Court, and then our criminal Court of Appeals is like our Supreme Court for criminal. They're the ones that struck down this statute from 1951, authorizing and directing me by the legislature to investigate voter fraud. We have now asked them to rehear this case. We have many different Republican senators, conservative leaders, the Republican Party of Texas, asking them to go back to the Constitution, look at it again, and don't overrule their own precedent.
And I know that people from all over your state, but all over the country, because it does impact federal elections, if you have voter fraud and if you have these, what are called, I think the state senator I had on called them blueberry cities that are having district attorneys backed by George Soros, they're apparently going to turn a blind eye to voter fraud that goes their direction. So we don't want to see that happen in Tennessee or people in Arkansas or Minnesota, because it impacts federal elections there in your state of Texas if you can't investigate. So have they been flooded with calls? Are they starting to feel the pressure to make another decision and look at this again?
Look, I know that we've been talking about it. I've been criticized for talking about it. But the reality is I have a First Amendment right to talk about this. Yes, it won't just affect Texas, because if this occurs, these counties like Travis, where we have a Soros-funded DA, or Bexar County, which is San Antonio, where we have a Soros-funded DA, or Harris County, which is Houston, which is a Soros-funded DA, there's enough fraud that could occur in those major metropolitan areas to turn Texas blue really quickly, within 2 years, maybe even this election. It's just a matter of when they want to do it, because if no one's going to prosecute voter fraud, why not do as much as you need to win, just like they did in some of these other states? And this will affect other states, because if Texas goes blue, you're not going to see a Republican president. You're not going to see a Republican Senate. We're going to lose the ability to have a two-party system.
So are we hearing anything as far as what those 8-1, I guess they're all Republicans, and one Republican voted against it, 8 Republicans went for it. Are we hearing anything about the fact that they're now realizing the American people are watching them and they might should look at this again?
I think it's very clear that we've definitely broadcast this. Your show is responsible for part of that, and letting people know that this is a serious issue. This is the most devastating case I've seen in my lifetime in Texas, because of the consequences of them undoing what I think is perfectly provided for in the Constitution. They made this really strange argument that this is, because I'm in the executive branch, I can't do a judicial function like prosecute cases. But if that's true, we have 38,000 civil cases going right now. That's also in the judiciary branch. I wouldn't be able to do anything, and I wouldn't have any of the roles that a normal attorney general has according to that reasoning of the Court of Criminal Appeals.
Let's, unless you have something else on that topic, can we switch to the border?
Sure.
All right. So I know we had General Flynn on for an hour last night. He was just down at the border. We had one of our other broadcast partners down at the border. We recently have been interviewing quite a bit a gentleman named Todd Bensman. He wrote a book called America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. He's been coming on our show talking about what's going on at the border, particularly, you know, in parts where you have the United Nations in there. And he had the pictures with the United Nations in their blue shirts giving out cards for people to have money to live and stay on the border between Mexico and America, but they're on the Mexico side, until they can be positioned to move in. And apparently somewhere there in Mexico, and he broadcast live with us a few weeks ago from there, they had so many packed in coming from way on down, you know, Central America and coming up, so many there in Mexico that they eventually, the government, he says, gave them all QR cards and then line them up and put them on buses, spread them out, and then drop them off to get across the border. And then they, of course, would all drop these different ID cards they had. And he was saying that some of these folks, they're just people wanting a better life. He started interviewing some of them in some of the countries they're from, terrorist-tied countries, and he got really concerned, particularly when they weren't living on the street. They were going with their handlers and staying in really nice hotels and going to nice restaurants waiting their queue. How concerned are you as Attorney General as to the national security implications of the border?
Look, I'm extremely concerned. They're supposedly coming from over 150 countries. They're not being vetted. We have no idea what their background is. And then they're being released into the country. There's no doubt that we're letting terrorists in, just like we're letting in cartel members. We're letting in all kinds of people that have a criminal background. And the Biden administration has no concern for this at all. As a matter of fact, they're inviting as many people as possible, and we are going to have consequences. We already have had consequences, maybe not with terrorism, but we've had police officers, we've had regular citizens killed by illegal immigrants, and we're going to see more of that, and the Biden administration knows it and probably expects it and still allows it to happen. Not only allows it, but invites it.
So what General Flynn got into this last night with us, and he course alerted us to this several months ago, the military age males that he was warning about that are coming into America, some of them handpicked to get on the airplanes there in Kabul by the Taliban to come here, and now we see them being dropped down in like these phantom flights by the Biden administration, and again, military aged males, single guys. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe, is it not, Mr. Attorney General, that our own government is doing this to the safety and security of our nation?
No, I think that's really the biggest problem we have. Americans they can't grasp a president that literally is betraying them, that's creating an environment where more people are dying from overdoses of drugs, where more people are dying from COVID because they're spreading it around and they're sending these people all over the country secretly, and where they're bringing in people from terrorist countries who we know are very likely to cause a problem in the future, including other criminals. And so I think it's hard for people to believe that somebody that we've elected as our president would do that, but that is the reality of where we're at.
What about the border wall? Where is Texas at as far as going ahead and continuing to build the border wall?
So we're building what we can, but we have a border that's over 1,200 miles long. We don't have the resources to effectively finish that job. We can fill in gaps. We're trying to fill in some of those gaps where the federal government doesn't control the land, but they're not helping us. They've obviously cut off their own contractors, even though they've had to pay them. They have materials sitting on the ground that are not being used. They've spent millions, if not billions of dollars, and not finished the job that they were supposed to through an appropriation from Congress. By the way, we have a lawsuit about that as well, because Congress appropriated the money. The Biden administration can't not spend the money the way they're supposed to, and yet that's exactly what they've done, again, ignoring federal law and doing just the opposite.
And so you have a lawsuit to deal with that, huh?
We have a lawsuit that I filed with the Missouri Attorney General a couple months ago to direct the federal government, direct the Biden administration to follow what Congress appropriated. It's the job of Congress to appropriate money. The president can't just say, well, we're not going to spend the money the way our representatives voted. I'm going to just not spend it. I'm going to pay the contractors, but they're not going to build the wall. That's wrong. That's illegal. That's what we sued them over.
Do you have any involvement or see briefing papers or anything that you're allowed to talk about that would tell us how serious the problem is when it comes to sex trafficking and children being brought over the border with adults that are not their parents and not their guardians. Because I've interviewed several people recently, this is what they do, and they're telling me the sex trafficking is absolutely at its peak and out of control.
That's absolutely true. We don't get any information from the federal government. Matter of fact, we were supposed to have a briefing while we were down there. I brought 12 attorney generals from Republican states down there. We were supposed to have a briefing, and they canceled it because they were told by Washington, don't give these guys the information. But the reality is, every person coming across the border is brought over by a cartel member. They make about $8,000 per person.
Wow.
And then, of course, when you have young women, what do you expect is happening to those young women? They're being moved around. They're being trafficked all over the United States, in every state in this country. And that also is a well-known fact by the Biden administration.
You, in your speech the other night in Houston at the Trump rally, mentioned how many times you sued the Obama administration, how many times you won, and how many times in just a year you've sued the Biden administration. Can you give those stats to our audience? I think they'll find that interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. We sued the Obama administration in a little over a two-year period 27 times. So we won about 80% of those cases against the Department of Justice. In just a year, we have the same number of lawsuits that took us more than 2 years with Obama, which tells you how serious this is. We won about 90% of those cases. So we are in 27 lawsuits right now with the Biden administration, 20 of which we filed against them and about 7 that they filed against us. And we're basically in a war against our own country.
Wow. As an attorney general, what do you find that you use as the defense for your state's sovereignty and state rights? Would it be the 10th Amendment? Is that one that you commonly are citing in your court cases? The powers the federal government has are limited and expressed. The unlisted powers belong to the states and respective people there. If not that, what other constitutional arguments are you making for your state rights?
Yeah, so the 10th Amendment clearly applies here. But oftentimes, you look at the Remain in Mexico program as an example. The Biden administration is required by federal law when they allow somebody to come in and claim asylum, either detain them until their hearing or send them back to Mexico. They are not doing that. And that's why we sued them. So we sued them based on a federal statute. This is what we often do, that they are required to follow federal statutes. As president, he can't rewrite the law. So every lawsuit we have is about this idea that the president is not a dictator here, although he's trying to become one. He's not a monarch, although he seems to be trying to become one. His job is to implement laws passed by Congress. And instead, he's saying, no, I'm the president. I don't implement any laws that I don't like. I make my own laws. I'm really more like a king. And that is honestly where we're at today.
Was it yesterday or today? I saw a quick headline that Biden made some comment regarding amendments are not a sure thing, or amendments are not an absolute thing. I think it was in reference to the Second Amendment he was talking.
Yeah, and this is a guy that doesn't believe in the Constitution, because we, the people, that is to benefit us, to protect us against our own government, to allow us free speech, to exercise our faith the way we want to exercise our Second Amendment right to bear arms. He doesn't believe in that because that takes power from him and gives it to the people, which is exactly what the founders envisioned. His vision is for him to tell us what we can do and what we can't do, whether we have to get a vaccine or whether we can keep our job or whether we can travel. It's all up to him.
Is this your first term as Attorney General?
So I'm in my second term.
Second term.
And running for my third term right now. We have a primary actually March 1st with early voting starting Valentine's Day.
So this is you're running for your third term. Wow. We sure appreciate you more than you know, and the fact that you've come on here now 3 times. Thank you so much. Let me ask you in closing 2 questions. A, if you have a website, and then B, what specific pieces of legislation or policy in Texas, for those who are watching that live in Texas, and of course they will send this out everywhere. Of course, we're live now, but then we can send it out. What particularly would you like to ask the folks of your state to help you with? Any particular 1 or 2 pieces of legislation or policy?
Yeah, so my website is kenpaxton.com, and Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is at kenpaxtontx. I would say the most important thing right now, our legislature meets every other year, which most people are surprised by.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was Sam Houston, who was our first president of the Republic of Texas, said that his your life, liberty, and property were in danger when the Texas legislature is in session. So we keep it very limited here. But the main thing I'm concerned about is the very issue you brought up when we first started, which is I want the people to know that if we lose this ability to prosecute voter fraud in Texas, and that's exactly what the Court of Criminal Appeals did, we are going to lose this state. And I have no doubt that they know this, that this was very well orchestrated. It was done purposely after the filing deadline so that no one could run against them. They did it 2 days after their filing deadline, so no one would be able to run against them. And only three of them were up out of the nine, but only one drew an opponent. And we need to send the message to the guy that's in that position, Scott Walker, that this Clint Morgan running against him, we need to make sure that he wins that race to send the message, you can't do this.
Absolutely. Okay, so Texans, you've got your action point there, and I hope you'll listen carefully to your attorney general. Sir, you are welcome back here anytime. We appreciate you. We respect you. And we want you to know that you have a platform here to get out the message to not only Texas, but to the American people, who so many people across the country have a fond place in their heart for your great state of Texas.
Well, thanks a lot. It was great to meet you, and I really appreciate you having me on to talk about these really crucial issues.
Thank you, sir. The honor is all ours. Attorney General Ken Paxton checking in. I hope you'll check out his website, kenpaxton.com. He's running for his third term, as you heard. And we really appreciate him and what he stands for. Keep track of him. I think he's got a future, don't you? He's going to do his third term, but who knows? We'll see where he goes. Maybe he'll run for something else. But we need guys like that to stay in the trenches in those important jobs. A lot of times those jobs are the most important jobs, jobs like Attorney General. We need more guys like him to run around the country. Let's use him as the template and get more to run for Attorney General in their states. Check out his website.